Good morning. It is Thursday, May the 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin today before the Lord Jesus Christ, ascended at the right hand of God, which means He is there, and He is here, and He is where you are. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. But it's the truth, which is why we begin by saying, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, The Problem with Problem-Free Prosperity. Our text is Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 30. Hear now the word of the Lord. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The word of the Lord. Now consider this. What seems to be a fairly localized or targeted violent earthquake that simultaneously opens all the doors of this maximum security prison, unleashing everyone from their chains, is pretty impressive. However, There is something far more impressive going on here. Did you catch it? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. We need to get off the bus here and tour the site. Two prisoners, locked in the inner cell, beaten bloody within an inch of their life, with their feet fastened securely between two pieces of wood. And they are praying and singing hymns to God? I would have probably been over in the corner scratching out my USC Section 1983 lawsuit and thinking thoughts like, "So I do all this for you, Jesus, and this is what it gets me?" And I'd be wondering if I could get my old job back. I'll comment in the podcast afterward today about how much I have struggled to develop this kind of faith. What we most need today, particularly in the North American church, is a New Testament reality check, a Christian worldview. Here's a good word from that on our sponsor, aka Jesus, who said in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We must realize that Paul did not write the following words to be printed out on our AAA state championship bumper stickers. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." That's Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. He wrote those words from yet another prison. These men crossed the Rubicon of terminal difficulties a long time ago. They found something, or in this case, someone, worth dying for, and consequently something and someone to live for. Scratch that last word. It should be through. Huge difference. Someone to live through. Jesus was their secret, and they weren't keeping it a secret. The gospel just does that. I want you to feel encouraged while at the same time challenged. I want us to reorient our worldview. We must let go of our quest for problem-free prosperity. No, we won't go looking for persecution and pain, but we will face our present problems through Jesus. This will set our feet on the path to real life, deep faith, and holy love becoming healing power. Somewhere along the way, when we find ourselves in an impossible situation, instead of whining out our why me's, we will instead think to ourselves, "Now, what were the words to that Chris Tomlin song? And those other prisoners, those ones whose chains have fallen off, and yet they still haven't found freedom, they will be listening." The prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, come shed abroad a Savior's love, and that will kindle ours. Amen. It's Isaac Watts. Journal prompts. Are you free? In other words, have you learned to sing songs to God at midnight when life is at its worst? Are you ready to try it? Do you find yourself, like me, regularly surprised by tribulations and troubles? How might we learn to expect troubles without being pessimistic and yet to confront them in the victory of Jesus, which is to say, through Jesus? For our hymn today, we're going to sing Be Still, My Soul. That's number 346, 346 in our Seedbed Hymnal, our Great Redeemer's Praise. It's kind of a meditative hymn. If you know, you know. If you don't know it, I think you're going to like it. It's three verses. We'll sing them all. 346. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake. To guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul. When change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last. Amen. What a song. That word there. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. The winds and the waves, they know his voice. And isn't that wild? That's what he said. Be still, he said to the winds and the waves. Yeah, in this life, Jesus said, you will have trouble. And I don't know why I find myself ever continually surprised by it. Like, I'm just shocked. There's more trouble. I thought that was over in my life. I sense some of you feel that way too. I think that's a kind of an optimism that a lot of us carry. And that's the problem with optimism. It's just, I don't know, it's not durable. It's not real. And of course, the opposite is pessimism. And certainly that's not what we want, to just constantly be expecting the worst, something bad to happen, living in dread. That's also a way that, so many of us struggle with. You know, the way is hope. That's not even on the spectrum of optimism and pessimism. I'm not an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. You know what I want to be? I want to be a hopefulist. And a hopefulist actually knows the truth that in this life, you will have trouble. And Jesus says, take heart. I win. I am winning. I have overcome the world. And I think what I'm learning, I'm learning to bless the Lord in the midst of the trouble. And that's what's been so hard for me. I kind of want to wait for the trouble to subside, for the circumstances to change, for things to get better. And then I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm learning to bless the Lord in the midst of the storm. And I don't know why. Maybe you feel the same way. It is so hard for me because I get down. I get depressed. I get despairing. And I just can't make myself do it. This is, if you want to pray for me, that's how you pray for me. That I will grow up, that I will grow up, not to become some sort of stoic or pessimist, and certainly not to be an optimist, but to be someone who is filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, someone for whom joy becomes life. That's what I'm praying for. The transcendent joy of the Lord. I'm past asking God to change my circumstances so I can feel better. I don't even want that. I feel like I want the Lord to give me joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. That will be the answer to my prayer. Because, you know, circumstances are going to change. They will get better in time. And I will have missed another chance to have praised, blessed the Lord in the valley. That's the mark I long for, the mark of joy. And I have it in fleeting moments, but I want it as a constant, steady stream. And of course, joy, as we know, is not happiness. It's pure joy, in fact, when there is no happiness, when there's trials. That's why James says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. All right, guys, I could go on for this. This is hitting home here, as you can tell. Hope maybe some of you are encouraged. We gotta get ready to hit the field today. It's Thursday. And we're going to come across a lot of people out there today. A number of them will be discouraged and sad and struggling. And what they need, they don't need just a positive thinking word from us. They need Jesus through us. And so just be present, be attuned, open yourself up to them, identify with them. Jesus will meet them, I promise. That's what they need. Okay, I got my seeds. You got your seeds? I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.